So we're here today with J.P. Leninger, who recently won an election. And that's not the story. I want to dig into this a little bit more because there's actually a bigger story here. J.P., welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
So tell everybody what election you were running for and won.
So we just won the Democratic primary for the Metro Council seat here in District 6 in Louisville that covers Park Hill, Algonquin, Old Louisville, Shelby Park, most of Germantown, and Paristown Point.
Okay. So Metro Council here in Louisville, who did hold the seat before? Or who holds
previously,
the seat right now?
Philip Baker is the current seat holder. He was appointed to the seat when David James went into the mayor's administration to become deputy mayor.
Right. And do you have a Republican opponent in the fall?
No, there is no one else on the ballot in the fall.
So basically by winning the primary, you're in. So you're going to be on Metro Council come January.
Yes.
Wow, that's very exciting. But this is the main reason I wanted to interview you. I don't always interview people on local councils and commissions, but your story is quite striking. You won the Democratic primary, but you are not registered only as a Democrat. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I'm registered as a Democrat. I've been a Democratic primary voter my entire life. But I am a Democratic Socialist, and I organize very publicly with DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America.
Right. And are you not, if I remember correctly, you're the first Democratic Socialist to be elected to Metro Council?
I am the first DSA member who was endorsed and elected. Shamika Parrish-Wright is also a DSA member.
Oh, okay.
But with the appointment process and the special election last year, she didn't come to us for endorsement, and you'd have to ask her about what her plans are for the next round.
Got you. Okay, so we, of course, those of us in the progressive and liberal camp have been dealing with being called socialist for years, and, you know, we go from being irritated at people who don't know the difference to being amused by people who don't know the difference. So one of the things I'm fascinated with is one of our writers is actually a very supportive of DSA and Democratic Socialists. So why don't you take just a moment and explain what makes Democratic Socialists maybe different from regular Democrats?
So as a Democratic Socialist, I believe that we don't have a lot of experience with democracy in our lives, actually. That, you know, we spend most of our lives, you know, without a lot of democratic say or control over what happens with us. Particularly something that people like to point out, if you're a renter, you know, you go from one situation where you have someone who's set up as, you know, has personal control over your life, your boss at work, and then you go home and you live under, you know, a somewhat feudal system, your landlord who has control over your living conditions. I believe in democratic control of our lives. And I believe that socialism is the path towards that.
Again, for the sake of our listeners and viewers who may not really know the difference, you mentioned socialism, and immediately some people want to go to communism. Can you differentiate those two for us?
Right. So socialism, what all socialism is about, and sometimes people get a little confused on it and think that, you know, you're trying to describe a position that's further left than progressivism, right? That you like progressive, but even more so. And that's not what socialism means. Socialism is just about democratic control of the workplace. That's what socialism, that's the beginning and the end of socialism as a political theory, is that we should have democratic control of the workplace, that the people who perform the work should have a, you know, democratic say in the fruits of that labor and in the conditions of their workplace. That's, you know, socialism and union labor movement are inextricably tied. You know, communism is a centralized downstream theory from socialism as an idea of how to arrange the political economy, where that's a centralized system where there is, you know, a specific set of councils and political forms to direct the economy from above. But that's not what socialism means.
So, okay, we could, you know, we could go on with some political science lecture here, but I think that for the sake, again, of our listeners and viewers, we ought to spend a moment talking about what you ran on. What do you consider to be the main issues? And I don't want to say I was surprised, but I was a little interested in the fact that you beat out Philip Baker, who has been in that seat for a while. What do you think you ran on that really resonated with the voters in your district?
Well, so we went out and we were extremely policy forward in all of our canvassing, our mailers, any candidate forums we did. We were explicit about, you know, this is our political vision. We talked about, you know, we've lost all of these public services and especially critical social services for youth. We've lost, you know, funding for libraries and parks. Our budget is extremely unbalanced from what the priorities of the working class are here in Louisville. Mm-hmm. We have more than doubled what we spend on policing since we merged the city and the county 20 years ago. I would frequently ask people at the doors, do you feel like we're better off for that? Do you think that we are more safe? Do you think that we have a society where, you know, you feel safer in your home, on the street, that your personal property is protected better with all of these, with this giant increase in what we spend on policing? And by and large, the people we spoke to said no, that mm-hmm. we aren't better off. And that they remember when we used to have more active social services, used to have places for our kids to be where they were safe and had positive influences in their lives. You know, our public transit. You know, we have right now a extreme imperative to improve public transit. You know, climate change is real. Public transit is an extremely important part of mitigating the effects of climate change. Mm-hmm. And we're going the wrong direction here in Louisville. Our public transit, even before the announcement that there was going to be huge cuts to TARC coming up, huge reductions in service, we were already living in a world where in the austerity budget back in the last decade, we reduced routes, we made service less reliable, people used TARC less because it is less reliable. Mm-hmm. People want public transit, people want public services, people want public goods. And that was a big part of what we ran on. We talked about democratizing LG&E, making it a municipal gas and electric company. Starting with that on the doors, a lot of people don't even know that LG&E isn't owned by the city already.
Right.
They say Louisville in the name, and they say, well, surely, you know, we have some democratic control of it. It's like, no, it's currently owned by a company. It's headquartered in Pennsylvania, traded on Wall Street. Your utility bills pay for shareholder profits. People don't like hearing about that. And part of what's not great about that is LG&E doesn't plan to stop burning coal for energy until 2067. That's too late. So we need democratic control of our public utility, make it a public utility. So that was a big thing we talked about. We also talked a lot about the fact that District 6 is entirely a food desert. There's not one grocery store in the entire bounds of District 6. If you live close to the border, if you have a car, you drive to the Kroger on Goss, Kroger on 2nd Street by Central. Maybe you go to 28th and Broadway for your groceries. But for a lot of people, especially talking about that piece of the degradation of public transit in Louisville, that's not as convenient. And that becomes a real barrier to people having access to fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, fresh meat and dairy. So we talked to people about when Kroger left 2nd and Breckenridge, left that store, they told the city the store was profitable. It wasn't profitable enough for them to continue to operate it. Mm-hmm. We asked voters, do you think that we need to rely on corporate profits to decide on who gets access to fresh food Or do we need to start taking control of that ourselves? We talked about opening a municipal grocery store. This was a very popular idea during the primary. You know, that we could treat it like a public good. Maybe it makes money. Maybe it's profitable. We can reinvest those profits into the store system. Maybe it breaks even. Maybe it loses a little money, like the postal service. But it's a public good, and we still need these things. So those are some of the priorities we ran on.
Yeah, and you said that you got really good response to most of them at the doorstep, and I'm sitting here nodding my head pretty much to all of them. What was the final margin in the primary? How much did you win by?
We won by about 20 points over Philip Baker. Kate Dittmeyer Holm also got about 21% of the vote, I think.
Now that you have won and you're going to be on Metro Council, have you had contact with any of the other Democratic members of the council? Have they reached out? Have they, or even during the campaign, did they reach out or talk with you?
Yeah, I've spoken to several of them at this point. A couple of them that have reached out after the primary. I had a pre-existing relationship with Shamika Parrish Wright. She and I already knew each other before the primary, so. During the primary, we did speak a couple of times, although, you know, she didn't want to step in the middle of the race, and she was very careful about that, which we understood. Yeah. We were completely respectful about.
Typically, in primaries, other people in your party don't necessarily want to be putting their thumb on the scales, necessarily. Outside of running for Metro Council, which is not a full-time job, what's your day job?
I'm an auctioneer and appraiser of commercial industrial equipment. I do plan to step away from that role, though. I will be a full-time Metro Council member.
That's exciting. Have you had any chance yet to set up your office and staff and so on and so forth? Have you done any of that work yet?
No. People have been reaching out to me. In fact, it was kind of opaque to me even how the staffing worked. I knew that you get a legislative aide from the Metro Council. But then in recent years, people have had larger staffs, and I wasn't clear to me how that budget worked. But actually, Ben Reno Weber was one of the members of the Metro Council who reached out to me after the election, asked if I wanted to get lunch and help give me a little bit of orientation. He felt like he didn't get enough of that when he was appointed to the Metro Council. And he was actually extremely helpful in explaining to me how the budget works for your office in terms of your discretionary spending, the infrastructure spending for your district, but also the funds for your office. So people have reached out and asked about different positions, and I have been telling people that we're not going to really worry about that until we get a little closer. But we do plan on making sure that our office is extremely responsive to the needs of the district. It's part of my motivation for wanting to do it full time is that, you know, I want to be really available to the people of District 6 to hear their concerns, hear what their needs are, and for us to talk about what we need to do to solve these problems together.
Excellent. A couple last questions. Have you, since you won, have you heard anything from the state or the national organization? Have they reached out? Have they said we'd like to talk about your campaign in other parts of the country?
All right. Which organization?
Either the Kentucky Democratic Socialist Group or the National.
Yes. I am, like I said, a very active organizer with Louisville DSA. So everyone there is very excited about the election and what we can do going forward. Yes. And people nationally have also reached out and spoken to me.
Cool. A couple of last questions. First of all, is there anything you wanted to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
I do appreciate that you did not start out asking me about the numbers of doors I knocked and just in terms of the strength of our field operation, which was impressive. And I want to really highlight the fantastic work that our staff did to have such a great turnout. And to work field so hard, and how many doors we knocked and how many people we spoke to in canvassing. But really it was, you know, that it was messaging and the platform and what we talked to voters about that made the difference in this race. You know, we knocked on the doors and we talked to people about what the issues were in their communities. And we talked about you know, these are long-term problems that we have been building into our metro government for 20 years since merger. And it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of time to turn this boat around, to make this a city that meets the needs of the many and not just the few wealthy donors who have their voices heard and their needs met regularly by the Metro Council and by the mayor's office. And so we really wanted to talk to people about, we wanted to be clear that we weren't trying to like promise them some magic solution to the problems we face as a city, that I'm just one guy in a Metro Council of 26 members. But more importantly than that, I don't have a magic wand. And real change can only happen through building, you know, the political power of the working class for regular people to organize and get together and say, our needs aren't met. We aren't being listened to. What do we need to do to fix that? And that's the only way real change is going to happen. That, you know, we would tell people, you know, come May 22nd, I'm going to be an organizer. I'm either going to be an organizer in this seat or I'm going to be an organizer with DSA. But organizing is how change happens. And that's what my role will be no matter what.
Excellent. I'm very excited about your emphasis on public good. We have a state that calls itself a commonwealth, but we don't always pay attention to the commonwealth. So I really appreciate the fact that you have emphasized that in your campaign, and I look forward to seeing you emphasize it on Metro Council.
Yes, absolutely. That is going to be the entire focus of what we try to accomplish in this seat and from that organizing, is we want to build a city that meets the needs of regular working class people. And I really want to emphasize that we don't have that right now. And, you know, so many people we would speak to during the campaign, you know, I'd knock on the door and tell them I'm running for Metro Council, you know, that I want to make this a city that meets the needs of everyone. You know, what's your big concern? What do you want to see change? And so many people would say to me, well, it doesn't matter. Y'all are going to do what you're going to do anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would tell people, I understand that cynicism. I understand that feeling that government isn't here to meet the needs of regular people, that our government doesn't care about what their priorities are, what their concerns are, what would make a difference in their lives. But I would challenge people and I would say, who benefits from that attitude? Who benefits from that cynicism? It's the people, it's the very people that you are concerned about not listening to your needs. The status quo is working fine for them. Yeah. Only political engagement is going to change that.
Excellent. J.P. Leninger, the newly elected Metro Council member from District 6, who made news both by being elected and by being a card-carrying member of Democratic Socialist of America and bringing a real emphasis on public good to Metro Council, which may be a refreshing change. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
All right. Thank you for having me on.